Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast here with my co-host, Zach Morgan. Zach, welcome.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much. Always excited to be here.
So we are very excited to be at the launch party for the Senior Care Hero Awards benefiting SeniorServe, and alongside me is the CEO of SeniorServe, Holly Hagler. Holly, welcome.
Great to be here today.
Thanks again for being here, and Susan Papiri as well. Welcome, Susan.
It's great to be back, Gavin.
And we also have a very special guest with us today who's going to be receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Senior Care Hero Awards, and that is John Kao. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Gavin. Glad to be here.
So we're going to hear from all of these folks here in this episode, but let's first start a little bit about this launch party that we just had. Let's talk about the theme. We'll start with Susan. Susan, tell us a little bit about this launch party and what is the Senior Care Hero Awards, a reminder to the audience.
Absolutely. So our pre-event kickoff, it's a launch party for the Senior Care Hero Awards. We were lucky enough to have St. Joseph Heritage Healthcare host this venue. Meridian Senior Living gave us our samba dancers, and we had an Olympic theme. We're going to carry that through to the event and talk about how people need to come together to champion their heroes. The Senior Care Hero Awards has been around now. It will be our sixth year. We're very proud that we are still at the Grove and growing. There were about 700 people there last year, Gavin. So
yeah, I saw the pictures.
We're going to have more this year. And it's all about honoring those who care for our seniors or who are seniors themselves and are still active and doing things in and for the community. We really want people to participate by going to our website. They need to nominate those people that go above and beyond, the people that are heroes to them. That's why we call it this. And we want to see so many people flooded in there to be nominated, to be recognized, and to be honored for that evening.
Very good. And Susan, you said this is, you've been doing it for quite a while.
Yeah.
I believe 2011 was the first year, correct?
That's right. That's right.
So tell us about the growth over the years for the Senior Care Hero Awards.
Well, we started in 2011, like you said, at the Nixon Library. It wasn't even called the Senior Care Hero Awards at that point. It was called the Senior Care Humanitarian Awards. Began with a small group of people, and we decided to ask SeniorServe to be our recipient of our charitable proceeds from that. And we had about 250 people at the Nixon Library. The next year, the group that did it took it to Holly and asked her if she would like to go ahead and take this over as the major fundraiser. And she loved the idea. So we went ahead and changed it to the Senior Care Hero Awards. And in our second year, we had 450 people at the Nixon Library, and we maxed them out. Each year, we improved the charitable proceeds that we received. In 2013, we moved to the Grove of Anaheim, and that is where we are now. Last year, we were able to raise over $130,000 for our wonderful SeniorServe people, all those seniors that we make sure eat every day. So we want to do more this year. And one of the ways we do that is by having people sponsor it, having people be nominated, buy tables, come and have fun and honor these people with us.
Very good. So you talked about meals earlier, and this might be for Holly. I know Zach and I were talking earlier about just the amount of lives you all touch. This might be for Holly. Zach, you want to jump in?
Sure. Well, within the leadership, and I know that a few years ago you came in and took over. First of all, I don't want people to think that this is all serious. It's for a good cause and it's fun. evidenced by the samba dancing today. There was some excellent samba dancing.
Wasn't one of you in there too?
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
One of our colleagues, we have video proof, so maybe we'll post that on the website. But maybe just so people can get to know you, what is a fun or an interesting fact about you, maybe outside of the organization?
Well, something that my staff knows is that my management guru is Harold from the Harold and the Purple Crayon children's books. So Harold is somebody who has a crayon that can create whatever he can envision. And that's what I think that leadership is all about. It's creating innovation and, you know, really thinking through things, and whatever you can envision, you can create. And that's really what we're trying to do here at SeniorServe. We're trying to create a better world for the seniors that we help every day.
And the population that you help is rather large. What are, beyond meals, what are some of the programs that you offer for those seniors?
Sure. Well, we serve about 2,500 seniors every day who are at risk for, it could be for isolation, for depression, malnutrition. They could be have all kinds of issues in the home. So we're in the home. We are a community-based nonprofit. And we provide, in addition to Meals on Wheels, case management services, care transition, adult day health care, and a volunteer program called Care Circles that really tries to provide volunteers to connect with very isolated individuals.
Sure. And as was mentioned earlier, we're here in beautiful Orange County. How do you connect with that population? What does that population look like for you?
Well, the population that we're primarily serving is a, they're very low income, a lot of ethnic diversity, and through, and they're hidden in so many ways. Seniors in general are hidden in our society because people don't really want to grow old. And so I think they don't want to necessarily connect with seniors in the community. Right. So we're really connecting with older adults who are in some way do not have the support systems that they need in order to live with wellness, purpose, and dignity in their homes. And that's what we're all about. We nourish the wellness, purpose, and dignity of these individuals. So many of our partners who are here tonight refer individuals to us, and we do a tremendous amount of outreach in the community. We're providing our nutrition services in over 25 different senior centers across 20 different cities. We have adult day health care facilities, and so there's many ways that people come to us.
And I mean, I think the statistic is that there's around 10,000 plus people turning 65 every day for the next decade or two. So it's only going to be more and more important. You'd mentioned earlier about the growth of the organization. How have you seen the impact on the community that you've been able to make, or how has that grown and changed over the years?
Well, what we see is, in terms of the individuals that we serve, we see a reduction in hospitalizations. We see, if they do go to the hospital after they're receiving our services, a reduction in the length of stay. We see an increase in their overall well-being, and also in connecting them with community supports and services. And so we really see people who are becoming connected, who were really not in necessarily engaging and as vibrantly in life and in the community as they could be.
Right, and working with the senior population, I mean, I think we all can agree that that really is just one of the really overlying problems that that's out there to solve, and obviously you're doing a wonderful job with that. I would imagine that the growth doesn't stop here. What do you have as some future aspirations?
Well, the reality is the growth is going to overwhelm all of the social services systems. We're going to see just here in Orange County where we are, we're going to see the senior population double by the year 2030. And the needs are just escalating because people do not have the retirement income that they once had because of what's happened with interest rates and the other resources that were once there. There's declining support from the government. And so what is going to need to happen is the community must come together in terms of providers, care providers, volunteers, foundations, neighbors. We're going to have to get together, and we're going to have to support the seniors.
You talked about the government, and so one of the questions we always have is, how are these programs paid for? We know about the Senior Hero Awards and the funding that comes from there, but $130,000 is not going to cover your whole budget for the year. So can you remind the audience of how a CBO is funded?
Sure. We have about a $13 million annual budget.
Oh, wow.
About 60% of that is coming from the federal government or the state, and a small portion of that from local cities. But we fundraise for the rest of that. So the Senior Care Hero Awards are a small piece of that we're trying to grow.
Yeah.
But we receive funding through donations, direct mail, grants, large gifts that individuals make. We have part recipients of our services are giving the opportunity to make a donation. It's a dignity donation. We don't track it. We don't pressure them at all. If they would like to make a donation, it's received. But it is really about many pulling together many resources. And we also do what's called social enterprise at SeniorServe. So we have a very large commercial kitchen where we make over 1 million meals a year for the Meals on Wheels and the hot lunches that we serve. But we also use that facility for commercial contracts. So, for instance, we make the barbecue sauce for a restaurant chain here in Orange County.
Wow.
And we make a line of salsas, and one of them is being served in a major theme park in the community.
Excellent.
And so any proceeds from that, we're able to put right back into the mission. We also partner with Second Harvest Food Bank here in the community, and we make after school supper and summer lunch programs for thousands of them during the course of the school year. So that's another way that we're able to take our kitchen, our resource for the community, and really and do more and have greater impact.
Yeah, I've actually toured your kitchen back in, I think, 2011. A gentleman named Phil,
yes,
I believe. When I first started my career out here, and I had never been to a commercial kitchen before, so it was pretty neat to see that, and wow.
Bigger than you thought, I bet.
Oh, yeah. It was like a warehouse, but yeah. It was operating. It wasn't storage. It was machines and people, and when you say 1 million meals, I believe it.
Yeah. So. We love to give tours, so if anybody would like to have a tour who's listening, just go on our website at seniorserve.org, and reach out through the contact button, and we'll be happy to connect and give people a tour.
One thing, before we move on, because I think it transitions nicely with our conversation that we're going to have with John here, too. We talk about a lot with population health and with the changing of healthcare. You had mentioned, programs coming up with things like care transitions and those kinds of programs, which I would imagine are getting more emphasis as of late. Have you noticed the need for new programs like that as the healthcare industry changes, or what kind of things have come up that maybe you've had to adapt as an organization for?
We were one of 102 demonstration programs that CMS funded through the Innovations Center in the country. And we partnered with several hospitals here in Orange County, UCI, St. Jude, Western Med, and UCI Medical Center. And we provided thousands of care transitions to older adults,
sure,
who were being discharged from the hospital, and dramatically reduced the readmission rate as a result of that. Unfortunately, CMS isn't funding that on an ongoing basis,
right,
and with what's happened with the healthcare dollars, the hospitals are very strapped to fund that themselves. So we do have some continuing contracts with some health plans to do that. The most important thing is it's very hard for healthcare providers to know what's going on in the home. And we are the eyes and the ears of what's going on there.
Right.
And whether it's our volunteers knocking on the door every day, or whether it's our social workers who are going into the home to do assessments and really work with the seniors. We can be, in partnering with healthcare providers, we can be that extension, those eyes and ears in the home.
Well said. It's really neat to hear the health plans are jumping on board mm-hmm. and continuing the funding. And then we're going to talk with John here in a moment about population health, but it's neat that even though CMS might not be at the moment, we see the for-profit or not-for-profit private health plans jumping in and seeing the benefit and seeing the value of, I'm sure, a lot of good data that you guys are sharing. So let's shift over to what we learned a little bit today at the launch party about Alignment Healthcare and the lifetime honoree. John, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. I said Kao, but I may be not saying it correctly.
Kao.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
Close. It's great.
So tell me a little bit about your background. And I know as a leader in healthcare, people might see you as kind of authoritarian, just being a leader, not knowing you personally, but just maybe intimidating. So I want to hear a story, perhaps in your travels, where it might surprise the audience about you. It doesn't have to be on the professional side, but tell a little bit about John on the personal side, perhaps, as well.
I think in 1999, I did a mission trip in China. And that trip was life-changing for me, and then it changed the perspective of how I viewed everything, living in Southern California. And from that point on, it changed my life, and I wanted to serve and serve people. And so I think I've got the greatest job in the world because I get to serve people and do my life's passion. And you know, it's all about taking care of seniors and giving them affordable healthcare at a really high quality. That's what it's all about for me.
Awesome. So you went to China. Do you speak? Were you able to speak the same language? Do you speak any Chinese?
I can speak. I was born in Taiwan.
Okay.
And so I can speak Mandarin. And I still speak Mandarin to my mom. My mom tells me to go take out the garbage already. She tells me to do it in Mandarin.
Mandarin
Chinese, yeah.
My wife, she's Chinese, and she speaks the Toisan dialect.
Okay.
And where I live, there's a lot of Mandarin speakers. So when they see her, they just start speaking in Mandarin because it's just kind of common. Are you familiar with the Toisan dialect at all? It's southern China.
I think an important lesson for everybody is that even with a Lifetime Achievement Award, your mother may still tell you to take out the trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so going back to Holly, I'm curious how you two got connected, Holly, and how John received this prestigious award for the event.
Well, some of our good friends at CareMore had told us about John and the good work that Alignment is doing and really recommended that we connect with them. And through that, and particularly through the work that Susan has done, really we started to build a relationship and learn more about them. And so we've come together. Alignment is going to be involved in the event for the first time this year. We're so thrilled. And John is our Lifetime Achievement honoree. And it was unanimous within Alignment as to who they wanted to put forth for that. So we're so thrilled, and I think getting everybody in our launch party tonight got to see that this is an individual who is really committed to making an impact.
Yeah. So John, I'm curious about the vision of Alignment. When did it come to you? I know when you were speaking earlier, you shared you've been thinking about it for a while. So
it's really a culmination of my background, which includes CareMore. And includes Pacific Care, FHP, and TriZetto. And it kind of in that order, CareMore, it changed everything I thought about healthcare. In fact, we actually think the healthcare system in the country is pretty good. We don't think the sick care system in the country is very good. And you currently have 50 million seniors, 20% of which are frail and have chronic conditions. So that 50 million is actually going to increase to 90 million in the next 20 years. And so, as Holly said, we need to have a wholesale systemic change of how care is delivered for the 20% of the frail chronic population that cost the system 80% of the money. And so a lot of the lessons we learned at Care More and in terms of care delivery, care teams, combined with the lessons we learned with TriZetto, which is all about technology enablement, and the lessons we learned at Pacific Care, which is partnering with doctors and hospitals. And at FHP was the power of kind of the vertically integrated delivery model. All those learnings and lessons we kind of put together with a team of people that are passionate about effecting this change at Alignment Healthcare. And we started this with a pretty, you know, I would say a God-sized dream of setting a new standard by which seniors, particularly those that are sick, are taken care of on a national basis. And we also believe that that's going to get accomplished through, you know, it takes a village. And it takes a village with partnering with the senior serves of the world, the hospital systems of the world, the providers, the doctors that are in our communities. And we think we have the best, in this country, we have the best hospitals, the best doctors, and the best technology literally in the world.
Right.
It's just not all aligned.
Yeah, sure. So you talked maybe about an hour ago at the launch party about, you know, 2013, you had this wonderful dream and great vision, and it was nice, but you were new. Tell us about the progression. You mentioned how people started listening and actually jumping on board.
In 2014, June of 2014, we had 12 people in the company. And now we have close to 400 people in the company in 2 years. And we have former CMS administrators on our board. Dr. Mark McClellan is what the is really the author of the Medicare Modernization Act of 2004, and he kind of looked at our business model and he says, this is kind of a manifestation of my white paper. And we said, that's right, Mark, it is. And so you know, this crazy dream of actually changing healthcare. Every year, every month, actually, so many different things have happened that you know, with leadership from the policy world, we're now partners with Ascension Healthcare, HCA Healthcare, University of North Carolina Health Systems, an academic teaching hospital. We're working with payers also in Florida, which is Florida Blue Cross is one of our partners. And in North Carolina, our payer is Humana.
Okay.
And then in California, we happen to be a health plan ourselves.
Huh.
And so we've got this picture of creating a Medicare platform of capabilities, and we deploy that in markets throughout the country, depending upon the needs of that particular market.
Sure. So you mentioned you are a health plan here in California. Is that a Medicare Advantage plan?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it. And how are you getting the word out? Obviously, things like this, your background, you have relationships. You talked about that as well, having those strong relationships. Yep. Tell us about getting the word out here in California.
It's California, I think, is more evolved and probably 15 to 20 years more ahead of the rest of the country in terms of value-based care, population health, taking risk. Hospital systems here, medical groups are very familiar with that.
Yeah.
And the network of medical groups and IPAs are vast here. And so we're really creating deeper partnerships with IPAs in this particular market. And we're getting them lots of data to help them do what they need to do. We're building products that help integrate some of our care models with the IPAs to provide a better differentiated service to physicians to allow them to provide better care for members.
So I don't think that it's any secret that the acuity of patients in the home is going up as hospital stays are shortened and they're forced to be cared for either at home or in a lower level of care. You had mentioned your work with care transitions and different programs, obviously across the nation, but would you mind elaborating a little bit on those kinds of programs that you've set forth, especially for seniors in the care transitions realm?
Absolutely. I'll give you a couple of examples. In some of the markets out east, we're partnered with these big hospital systems that have employed doctors. And the goal with these hospital systems is to learn population health care coordination techniques to create value-based products starting in Medicare. And as everybody knows, when hospitals think about population health, one extreme is fee-for-service, which means fill beds, and the other is fee-for-value, which is empty beds.
Right.
And all the hospitals we've come across generate about 160% of their profits in the commercial funding platform.
Yeah.
So for we to expect hospitals to do that right now, to empty beds on commercial patients, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
It's not financially feasible.
Yeah.
However, when you look at the government programs inside the hospital, they're typically losing 10 to 20% contribution margins. And so we say to the hospital CEO, let's start with population health focused on Medicare, and let's build products through the Medicare Advantage program that essentially commercialize your delivery system. And we put in place these care protocols that I'll talk about in a second that will help you learn care coordination. And then when you're ready, you can migrate those learned skills over to the commercial side if and when you think applicable. And a lot of people are looking at those and they're looking at the ACA business, the exchange business, where they're getting paid less
Yep.
than traditional Medicare or commercial. And so they need to think about alternatives for better care coordination. So it's very strategic. It's a very strategic dialogue. And so we build products and we start moving market share to the hospital system, which is a good thing. We create economic alignment with the health system. We teach them certain protocols that they can apply to their fee-for-service business. And for example, if we can get a length of stay down from 6 to 3, that's a huge win that hospital.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
And so those are the value parameters for the hospital system. Then we say to the doctors, which is all about physician engagement and physician behavior and changing and creating incentives with the physicians. Oftentimes, they are not necessarily community doctors, but they're employed doctors that are compensated on a work RVU basis.
Okay.
And so the key is, how do you create alignment with those doctors so they can provide and be incentivized to provide a higher quality of care? And so we often talk to them and we say, you generate whatever it is, $72 per visit. You see a patient 7 times on a fee-for-service basis, and they say, yeah, that's right. And you get $490 per patient per year in revenue in your practice. They go, that sounds right. And we say, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll guarantee you $490 in your revenue for your practice, but we're going to also supply you with essentially a patient-centered medical home co-op. We'll staff that care center. We'll provide remote monitoring tools. And the visit volume will actually go down from 7 to about 4. So they kind of say, well, wait, you're paying me $490, but I only have to see the patient 4 times.
Right.
It's about $121 per visit. That's like 160% of Medicare. And all of a sudden, they kind of go, wow, I get paid more for working less, and we provide a higher quality of care for the
right.
patient, because you've got this extension and support system for me.
Yep. Right.
And I don't have to pay for it.
Right. It's really so breaking out of the fee-for-service mindset and into the, like you said, the more patient-centered mindset.
Care coordination, a lot of it is data-centric. We have to get common data. And so we're integrated into Epic. We're integrated into Allscripts, Athena, Cerner, all these interfaces we've spent a lot of time building. And oftentimes, if they're not the plan, we will still pay claims.
Yep.
So we need the data
right.
to take care of these patients.
Sure.
And then we give that data back to the hospital system and the providers.
Now, before we wrap up here, there is one last thing I want to touch on. And again, we had the unique opportunity to hear you speak a little bit earlier. So I know for people listening, they didn't have that opportunity. However, they can come on October the 15th and maybe hear that in person, right? October the 15th for the awards. But we touched on patient-centered care here. You mentioned something earlier. I believe you called it servant leadership. And I think that really plays into going into the patient-centered care. Do you mind just briefly kind of elaborating on that and how you had come to that?
Yeah, we think of ourselves as a care delivery system with a care delivery culture that happens to have pretty good health plan capabilities. But at the heart of it all is all about serving. And so you have to have really good service, but the heart is about serving. And people will ask me, John, how would you describe Alignment Healthcare? And I always refer to it as saying servant leadership.
Yep.
And they go, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I go, well, it has to be the heart of it. If you put a patient or a member as if they were your mom or your dad, that's all that matters. You just put the patient first, and good things will come, It's about doing the right thing. I mean, I talked earlier a lot about the business side of it, but at the core of it, it's about changing healthcare one person at a time.
Pretty neat, John. That's one of my favorite phrases is servant leadership.
Yeah.
And you don't hear it that often, but when you mentioned it tonight, I looked at a friend of mine, and I smiled. And, you know, it's neat that you lead in that way. And I'm really excited to see you again on October 15th and to see you honored. Great choice, Holly and Susan. And Susan, if you want to just share again with the audience very briefly.
Well, yeah, I was just going to touch on that. Yep. I'll touch on that again. So Senior Care Hero Awards with an S .org, seniorcarehero awards.org, and nominations are open through August the 31st. Is that correct?
That's right. And let's talk about being servants to these people who serve our seniors. Nominate, honor. That's what we want to do.
And there's going to be a very special award, besides John's award this year, there's going to be a very unique and special award going along with the Olympics theme. So please come on out and support the organization. Again, it's seniorcarehero awards.org.
Thank you so much.
Very good. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, thank
Holly,
you all.
John, Susan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for sticking after the launch party to do this. And again, folks, look forward to seeing you on October 15th at the Grove in Anaheim. Again, seniorcarehero awards.org. Please vote. Any final thoughts, folks? Holly?
No, just thank you so much for this opportunity and for the good work that you're doing and in the community.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Again, if you enjoy this podcast, it is a public service. It's a not-for-profit podcast put on by 24-Hour Home Care. We don't accept advertisers. We don't take any revenue for it. If you do like it, please subscribe on iTunes so that we can get guests like John and SeniorServe and some of the other folks from CMS, Department of Social Services, et cetera, that we've had. Really appreciate you listening. Take care.